We're going to start to dig in a little more college basketball-related guests over the next few months. And we begin with Anthony Bonner, the Billiken great, still the all-time leading scorer for SLU basketball. His number 34 hangs from the rafters. And this is sort of my era. I remember him dominating at Vashon. It's when the V started to really take off and win state titles almost yearly. He stayed home, played for SLU. They ended up going to the NIT championship in New York, back-to-back years. So great run at SLU. Then he was a first-round pick in the NBA. Had a nice run playing pro ball, including a time with the New York Knicks. And that was the John Starks, Anthony Mason, Pat Riley coached era Knicks at Madison Square Garden, running into the Pacers and Bulls, Pistons, so many great teams in the Eastern Conference back then. So Anthony Bonner is the guest on the Kilcoin Conversation. It was part of our Legends series over on KTRS Radio. Brendan Weese and myself catching up with Anthony, talking about that time in the NBA, going to SLU, playing for Rich Grauer, playing for Floyd Irons at Vashon. Also, there's another Bonner coming along. He's got a son. He's living in the Atlanta area these days. But we actually tried to get the kid signed with the Billikens now. Offered, I think we made a very unofficial offer. So talking basketball, talking life with St. Louis's own Anthony Bonner. The Kilcoin Conversation, as always, is presented by Triad Bank. Since 2005, St. Louis-based bank. So if you're in the market for a car loan, home loan, business loan, make sure you talk to the folks at Triad Bank. They're on Clayton Road in Frontenac and also the web, triadbanking.com. Marie Davila, Senior Living. Boy, the Christmas tree is up. It has not been lit yet, but the tree is up. You cannot miss it. If you're on Clayton Road in West County, corner of Clayton and Wideman Road, the Christmas tree is up, and it is symbolic of their festive nature there at Marie Davila. They've got about a 60-acre campus. That's what it is. It's a campus, beautiful area. They've got a lake, villa estates, assisted living, great food as well, everything you need in your retirement years. MarieDavila.com is where you can take a virtual tour. Appliance discounters, it's real simple. There's a supply chain issue everywhere you look. Can't turn on the news without hearing about it. But Appliance Discounters always has plenty of inventory. So don't wait months. It's only a couple of days when you get your next appliance at Appliance Discounters. GE, best name out there, really, when you start thinking about brands that have been around for over 100 years. Throw in a GE rebate. Great deal. Appliance Discounters. Area showrooms or online, theappliancediscounters.com. Their savings are your savings. And my friends at B&G Tuckpointing, they're the best in the bricks. So if that brick home, garage, chimney is starting to crumble a bit, make sure you get the tuckpointing experts from B&G to come on out. Get a free estimate. That includes waterproofing, foundation repair. Rich Galati will take your call and give you a free estimate on that tuckpointing. 363-0525. 314-363-0525. They are the best in the bricks, B&G Tuckpointing. So here it is, Anthony Bonner, former Billiken great, their all-time leading scorer. And we start with just sort of his excitement level when basketball returns.
You know what, to be totally honest with you, you know, I'm always excited about it. And, you know, you get revved up to it, and I'm still connected to it because I do a lot of personal training, and I have a 12-year-old myself who's playing. But I just love the game, man. It has done so much for me, and I just love being connected to it.
And tell us about going to Vashon, the V. At that point, it was starting to get rolling. I know we've had Floyd on the shows in the past and talking about the program itself building up. But really, when you were there, early 80s, isn't that really when things sort of took off for Vashon?
Yeah, you know, I didn't join the team until 1985. So prior to then, they had already won one state championship and I believe taken second in another. So Coach was really figuring it out how to build the culture that he wanted and use the assets that he had in the building, because size was not something that we had at Vashon up until I got there. They had more speed and quickness. So, man, it was a great ride. I thank God for Coach Irons, because before meeting him, you know, going to college was not on my radar. It just wasn't possible financially or any other way, and that was the doorway that was open for me there at Vashon.
And from the V right down the road to St. Louis U, take us back through recruiting. And I know it was different back then. There was pretty sure there was no Instagram for guys our age. And what was the recruiting process like?
Well, again, it was exciting. I mean, because it was new to me. I didn't know that you could have people make a fuss over you because you could play a game. You know, people want to give you scholarships, and they're flying you onto their campuses, and they're showing you around. You get weekend opportunities to go out of town. So it was great. I mean, St. Louis U was not at the top of my list at that time just because, you know, there were other opportunities. Like most young men, you think you want to go away. You think you need to go away to have the experience away. But, again, Coach Irons was able to help Anthony Jones and myself look further down the road. 5 years, 10 years after college, where do you see yourself living? You know, do you want to be in St. Louis? Do you want your mom and dad to see you play? You know, thoughts that a 16 or 17-year-old can't think of on their own.
Anthony, how quick were you getting recruited by SLU and others? Were you already filled out? Were you already kind of at your eventual height and playing weight once you'd get to college and the NBA? Or did it take you some time to get to that level where you were starting to play elite basketball?
It took some time. It definitely took some time. I mean, you know, I tell people all the time, I broke my wrist my senior year in high school, and I didn't know it, and I played the whole year with a broken wrist. And it wasn't until I got to St. Louis University that we figured that out, and I had to learn how to reuse my left hand almost all the way over again. And I'm right-hand dominant anyway. So Coach Grar would bring me in before practice once I was cleared to go, and he would just throw basketballs at my left hand. He would put me in situations to make me have to use my left hand because after having that surgery, I was a little hesitant in using it. So it was a process, man. Coach Grau taught me how to run, you know, how to take big strides. So he would put tape down on the floor so that I could expand my stride and learn how to run like a big man. So those 4 years at St. Louis University really transformed me and helped me not only understand the game, but how to play the game at a higher level.
And Brendan alluded to it. I don't know if you were a workout warrior or what, but you're a brick house. I'll tell you that. Probably still are. Last time I saw you, it looked like you could still play. Were you in the weight room? Were you doing push-ups? What was your – how did you get so big?
Well, the weight room. You know, when you get to college, obviously the weight program and taking care of your body goes to a whole nother level because you're playing against physical specimens, as you just said. You know, you're a freshman playing against guys that are juniors and seniors who've been there. You have to go in and you have to take it serious because, you know, the physicality of basketball by a lot of people is underrated, and they don't know that basketball is equal to or even more physical than football because there's no pads. And at certain positions, you know, the referees just let you play.
And at St. Louis U, the all-time leading scorer for the Billikens, the number 34, hangs in the rafters at Chaffetz Arena. And it's sort of to what Coach Irons was telling you years down the road. What's your legacy? Where did you play? When it's your hometown and you can go back now, how much fun for you to be in that building to kind of look up, see your name, and know you're still in the record books?
Oh, it's amazing. I can't even put it into words. I mean, when you think about how it started, you know, B-team as a sophomore, getting kicked out of practice for showing up late, making varsity as a junior, you know, being the player of the year as a senior, having a chance to go to college and then go on and play in the NBA when there were much better guys who had more talent and who were projected to go much, much further. For the grace of God to allow me to be able to experience everything I've experienced, you know, I just sit back and it's just really, there are no words that can adequately describe it.
What was the impact that Rich Grauer had on you? You talked about Coach Grauer a little bit there. He obviously was the coach at SLU when you were there. Tell me about that relationship.
Well, Coach Grauer picked up where Coach Irons left off. You know, I think it was just, it was the same coin, just different sides. I mean, Coach Irons was more of a father figure. I think just because he had to be because of the environment at Vashon High School with so many young men maybe coming from single-parent homes. And him having come out of that environment and going to school and coming back. And Coach Grar was a father figure too, but it was much more of a disciplinarian role. You know, he was much stricter. He was much firmer only because, you know, there was more at stake there. We were in college now. We were young men. We were no longer high school boys. And, you know, he made sure we were in class. I mean, a lot of times you think you were getting over on something, and Coach Grau would be sitting in your lecture class before you got there just to see if you were there. And if you weren't there, there was a penalty to pay. You know, he made sure that we were academically sound, that we stayed on course to graduate. You know, he made sure that in the summer we had the proper workout routines to do to make sure that we improved and came back better than we were the year before, as well as making sure we had summer employment. So Coach Grau was everything I needed at that time and even more.
Anthony Bonner is our guest, our St. Louis legend, presented by Royal Banks of Missouri. Anthony, you were on the two Billiken teams that went to the NIT finals, right?
Yes. Yes.
What was that like? Back-to-back years. Ultimately, you guys don't take home a championship, but in the championship game, what were those seasons like for you and your teammates?
Oh, it was a culmination of hard work, of dedication, kind of even vindication at some point. You know, we were always ranked to go further, but never could quite get over the hump of the Xaviers. Butler was not as tough then as they are now, but it was primarily Xavier that was our Achilles heel with some of the players that they had there, and Pete Gillen was the coach. So to be able to go to the NIT and advance all the way to the finals, having to go win several road games in some tough environments, I think, you know, it just solidified the fact that we were a quality program with quality coaching, with quality players, but just could not get over the hump. So it was a great experience both years.
Were the NIT finals back then, Anthony, were they played in Madison Square Garden?
They were played in Madison Square Garden, which added all the more excitement to it, to being the mecca of basketball with fans who enjoy great basketball. It was exciting.
So that had to kind of give you a taste of the basketball career that was to come for you, right? Being in that kind of atmosphere, big city, where they make a big to-do about those games. Were you kind of in awe with that at first?
Of course I was. You know, you can't go to Madison Square Garden and, you know, you walk down the avenue and you see it sitting there and you see the flashing lights and you see the games being flashed on the marquee on the board, and you enter in the back and you know, you're going in the same way that the Knicks go in or the Bulls or the Hawks or whoever they're playing, and you're using the same locker rooms, and you get out there on the court, man, it just really blows your mind when you look up at the Jumbotron and, you know, you soak it all in and you realize some of the history that has been accumulated in that building. It can be overwhelming.
Now, I should know this, and I probably should have looked it up, but didn't you guys win a big game at the Pit? Or did one year you had to go to the Pit? I'm trying to remember, in New Mexico.
We did. Luke Longley was a starting center on that team. We went to New Mexico. We were down 20 at halftime, and we came back and won. Roland Gray had an amazing game. I think he scored 30 points, and it allowed us to advance to the next round. And amazingly enough, the very next year we played Luke Longley again in New York, and we beat him again to advance. So that was a great, great comeback victory there in the Pit.
And yourself, Roland Gray, Monroe Douglas, that I think that was sort of the early idea around here that St. Louis kids should be playing at SLU, or that maybe they would stay home. A few years later, Larry Hughes famously stays, and now half the Billiken's roster seems to be at least from the Metro East or St. Louis area. What did it mean to be playing with those guys who you probably knew from even growing up?
Oh, man, it was amazing, you know, and they definitely get all the credit. I mean, for Monroe to turn down some of the schools he turned down, I know Missouri and Oklahoma was some of them that he turned down, and Roland to turn down some of the schools he turned down. It just set a precedent, you know, and for me to see them going there, Anthony Jones and I looked at it and we factored that into our decision-making process and realized again that we can be a part of something small that was growing, or you can go get lost in the shuffle away from home. And as you said, we had known each other not very well, but we bumped into each other in many PHL rivals and around the city. So it was an exciting time to play with those two guys.
Anthony, your first team all-conference your last 2 years with the Billikens, but you led the entire country in rebounding your last year, right? What are your memories of just that run where you're so dominant that you're the best in the country?
Well, you know, I have to thank all my coaches for helping me hone that gift. You know, there's no doubt about it that the fact that I'm the all-time leading scorer is a surprise to everybody, including myself, because that was not my strong point or strong suit when I got to St. Louis University. But rebounding was. That has always been my mainstay, and my staple is to rebound the basketball. And I continue to get better and better and better at it, and realize that if I could rebound the basketball, I would make myself invaluable to a basketball team. And that particular year at St. Louis University, being a senior, playing the majority of the game, and having gotten bigger and stronger and a better understanding of rebounding, allowed me to go out there and just get as many as I can and wind up leading the nation in rebounding.
Now, I used to go to games at the old Kiel Auditorium. It's got to be hard walking into Chaffetz now and say, wait a minute, they get to play in this building? The old Kiel, that was, it might have been a pit of its own for a different reason. That was not exactly the most glamorous home court, was it?
No, it was not, you know, but we look back at the times. Martin, you know, back during that time, you had the 7-up shootout down there. Mm-hmm. They talked about all the old stories of the older players that played in that building, and there was a history to it, you know. We look forward to driving down Highway 40 and parking in that Kiel garage and walking up to that building and going to war for St. Louis University and our fans. And it was all we knew. It was all we had. So it was like the Chaffetz for us.
And there were some great players. I think that the Loyola, was it Andre? Frederick Hughes would have been probably a little bit older than you, but Loyola had great players. You mentioned Xavier, those battles, because it was – Tyrone Hill, Derek Strong, they were always a great physical team, too. There were some great battles back in the day. And then you end up being a first-round pick to the NBA. What's that moment like? How did you find out? I'm trying to remember now. Obviously, it's televised. Are you watching? Were you there? Did you get a call? Tell us about draft night.
Yeah, well, you know, the process. Draft night was pretty exciting. We went out to my agent's house at the time, who was Jim Steiner from Sports Management Group, and my mom, my dad, my brother, I think Roland was there. It was very, very low-key atmosphere. And we just got together in anticipation of my name being called, not knowing exactly when, because, you know, they give you the projections. You can go 10 through 17 or 17 through 28 or whatever it was. I believe at that time there was only 27 teams in the first round back then, I believe. 27 picks.
You are correct. Yeah, absolutely correct. Okay. Eldon Campbell of the Lakers was the final pick that year, number 27. You went 23rd, Sacramento.
Okay, so it was, you know, I got a phone call early that day from Jerry Reynolds, surprisingly, who knew Coach Graw from Rockhurst College. They both had a connection at Rockhurst College, and Jerry Reynolds was the GM of the Sacramento Kings at that time. He called me earlier that afternoon, and he said that they were thinking about picking me with either their 18th pick or their 23rd pick, which they wind up, I think, taking Dwayne Coswell. And it was just amazing not only to have gotten drafted, but to be drafted one of four first-round picks for the Kings, and to have an experience that, again, was not pre-planned or charted like it is today, where, you know, you see kids and, you know, he's going to the NBA, or he's a certain NBA basketball player. That was not my story. I just played basketball, continued to get better and better and better at it, and as a result, I was very, very favored and fortunate to be able to play in the NBA.
Yeah, Derek Coleman, first pick overall that year out of Syracuse. Gary Payton, the glove, was number two that year, and I didn't realize till you said it, I looked it up, Sacramento did have four number ones in the 1990 NBA draft. So what did you know about Sacramento before you got there?
Only that they had been in Kansas City once upon a time.
The Kings,
you know?
Yes, that's
yeah,
right.
You knew that they had been in Kansas City. You knew that they had, God rest his soul, the late, great Wayman Tisdale. They had Ralph Sampson on the roster at that time and Roy Sparrow. So, you know, they were a team that was under the radar and still trying to build an identity and a winning culture. But, again, they were out west. Was not very happy about that because I had never, you know, anticipated going so far away from home in a different time zone. But, you know, just to be in the league, you're in the league. You know, everybody knows how hard it is to even get in. So once you're in, it doesn't matter where you are, you're in.
What was the first game or moment where you looked over and saw Magic Johnson, or I'm trying to think if Dr. J was still playing. I saw somebody else on the court with you, and you thought, oh, my gosh, I'm a long way from being a kid in St. Louis dreaming of the NBA.
Oh, man, it probably was. I mean, I remember we were going to the arena. We were playing the Lakers one night, and we were leaving shoot around, and they were coming in. Magic is the Magic you see on television is the Magic he is in real life. He takes time to stop and talk and speak and, you know, hey, young fella, how y'all doing? Welcome to the NBA, this and that. You know, just being Magic. And then you get out on the court with him. The coach tells you in the locker room, look, never take your eyes off of him, because when you take your eyes off of him, as soon as you do, the ball's going to be coming right past your face. Run back. Be alert. And sure enough, whoop, there's the passes right by your face to James Worthy or A.C. Green or Byron Scott on the break. And it was just, man, you had to wake up and go, you know what, I have to go from fan to really being a player quick, because you can get embarrassed out here.
Martin Kilcoyne, Brendan Weesey with you. It is our Sports Legends series here. St. Louis Sports Legends brought to you by Royal Banks. Anthony Bonner, pride of Vashon, all-time leading scorer for the St. Louis Ubilicans, is number 34, retired, then played in the NBA before heading to Europe. And you're going against L.A. I'm trying to remember when Pat Riley left, but you end up playing for him in New York. You did have that Madison Square Garden experience at the NIT. Now tell me about being a player, an NBA player, in New York on the Knicks. This is the John Starks era. This one and the rivalries in the East were getting nasty, the Bulls and the Pistons and everybody. Tell me about being a pro player in New York City.
I mean, it really doesn't get any better than that. You know, I think that when I look back through my career, probably that's the pinnacle. That's when you really just sit back and let that part soak in, because the particular year that I went to the Knicks in 1993, Michael Jordan had just retired, so the Knicks were picked to win it all. They were favored to win it all. So now you're going from a team in Sacramento where we probably never won more than 25 to 28 games the 3 years I was there, to a team who's now competing for a championship. So the expectations were different. The culture was different. And sure enough, the very first night, we had a meeting at midnight, and Coach Riley's philosophy was, we're going to be the first team on the court, and we're going to be the last team off. And we started practice at 12:30 midnight that night, and we went on to have a spectacular year, and I've never been part of a better team or a better coaching staff.
Anthony, I have to ask, you mentioned getting there to New York after Michael Jordan retires. What kind of impact did that have? What was the reaction by you, your teammates, around the league? How much talk was there that, wow, MJ's really stepping away from this?
Oh, there was a lot. I mean, you have to realize, I mean, just 2 years prior to that, Magic had announced his retirement, unfortunately.
Right.
So it was a shock, but, you know, the reasons was different. Obviously, one was medical. The other one was just point-blank fatigue, probably, with the whole lifestyle that he lived that not many people knew until they saw The Last Dance recently, how hard it was to be Michael Jordan off the court. But for us, it was all about an opportunity. There was a window. I mean, we all knew that he could potentially come back. You didn't know when, but you knew he could potentially come back. So everybody was looking at it as their window, especially in the East. So that's the only way we focus, is that whether he's here or not, there are a lot of other teams that are going to have something to say about us winning the championship.
You mentioned the quality of that 93-94 team, Anthony. What kind of words would you use to describe that group? Martin mentioned John Starks, of course, Patrick Ewing. What kind of toughness level do you think, obviously with yourself as well, your rebounding ability, what kind of toughness did that team have across the board?
Well, our motto that year, believe it or not, was tough town, tough team. So you're looking at the front line of Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason, Charles Smith, who was a 6'10 small forward. You have Tony Campbell, who had played for Pat Riley in L.A. and with Minnesota. You have Rolando Blackman. You had Derek Harper, Greg Anthony. I mean, it was just a very tough and physical team, and our practices were extremely tough. You got taped every day, even on game day. Practices were 2.5 to 3 hours minimum. On game day, they were an hour and a half. It was not uncommon to get your lips split, go in the training room, and Mike Saunders stitch them up, and then you're right back out there, or get a tooth knocked out. It did not matter. It was just competition because the minutes were scarce, and everybody wanted to be on the floor, and Coach Riley would just sit back and just watch. No words, he'd just watch.
What were the celebrity settings like? I don't know, Spike Lee was always running on the court. It seemed like he was a member of the Knicks for a minute there. How about those games as events in New York?
Oh, man, there was always someone on the sideline. You know, during the 90s was a very during that era, hip-hop music was very big and just beginning to be birthed. So you had a lot of rappers and entertainers and actors always at the Garden because, as you can imagine, there's something always going on in New York. So, you know, you got the music flowing out of the speakers in the Garden, and you got the Knick City dancers. It was just... And it was an event. It was the place to be during that time. And then you add to that that we were winning and sitting atop of the East. It was a ticket that you had to be a part of.
And Pat Riley, still at that point, one of the coolest guys in the rooms, always well-dressed, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's Coach, man. And he's still the same way right now. He's smooth. He's a smooth criminal, boy. Was always lean and mean. And, you know, but, you know, the thing I appreciate him about him more than anything else, Pat Riley is a player's coach, and he treated you with respect, and he demanded respect, and if you did what you were supposed to do, he would go to war for you, I mean, to a level that you wouldn't even understand for his players.
Anthony, there's that 1994 NBA Finals against the Houston Rockets. There's obviously a very infamous night where you guys are playing in the Garden. Your game is broadcast nationally on NBC, but the O.J. Simpson Bronco chase was going on simultaneously in Los Angeles. I believe there was a picture-in-picture on NBC as they were showing the Bronco chase and the NBA Finals at the same time. Did you and your teammates after the game, or maybe even during the game, realize what was going on out west?
I mean, obviously, during the game, we did not, but we were surely alerted after the game, and it was just like mind-boggling. You know, that was happening at the exact same time. And it's unfortunate that that is always going to be attached to the 1994 NBA Finals. But, you know, when you're out there on the court, it's like anything else. Things are happening in the world, and you have to stay focused or try to remain focused because, you know, we came home and we let game three get away, which wound up costing us and not being able to finish the job in New York with Houston.
Three straight series that went seven games. I think it was The Bulls, Pacers, just to get to the NBA Finals. Then you went seven with Hakeem and the Rockets, and, of course, they beat the Knicks. Then you went overseas. How many years did you play overseas?
Ten.
And I hear these stories from guys going over. They said, well, you wouldn't believe the one place we go. They actually have, like, a fence around the court. The one place they throw bottles at you. Give me some ideas what your European experience was like.
Well, you take the Greek-Turkish rivalry, which has been going on for centuries, and we could never really understand it as Americans because it's just so deep. But when the Greeks, I played for, which team did I play for in Greece? My goodness, you got me going all the way back, Martin.
Oh, I had I had it called up for a minute, too. I was going to roll through some of that. Yeah, well, Bologna was a different team. Let's see here.
Yeah, that was in Italy. That was a great team in Italy that Kobe Bryant almost purchase, I believe. But in Greece, I played with Scott Skiles and Pager Stariakovich before Pager got to the NBA. And Scott Skiles was our point guard, but he eventually went on to be the head coach. They offered him a coaching job. But anyway,
you played for, was it PAOK Thessaloniki or Thessaloniki?
PAOK Thessalonica.
There
it
is.
PAOK. Okay, thank you.
Hey, you give me my Wikipedia. I'm an expert on anything. Okay?
Yeah, I play for PAOK. So, man, there would be the benches are covered with glass cases, kind of like sitting in a bus stop because fans were always throwing coins, okay, at players. So it's covered. Imagine the arena being full of smoke because everybody smoked. Okay, you're in there running and breathing and people are smoking. And then imagine around the court, you maybe got 50 to 100 guards with AK-47s and dogs. So it was a very hostile environment. But to us, it's hostile. To them, it's just another day in Greece. It's just another way of life.
Well, what an experience. And I know now you go around, you talk to kids. In fact, you were back at your alma mater, Vashon, in recent weeks talking to the football team. And I believe, are you still a pastor?
Yes, I am still in ministry, yes.
And tell me about how that plays out. After all your life experiences, I would think you've got a great story to tell.
Well, I mean, for me, I think it all adds up. And when you look back at it from the beginning, you can see that it probably couldn't have ended any other way than this, just because of all the grace that I've been given and all the great experiences, to try and impart some of that and share that with some of the young people that I'm blessed to come across, no matter where I am in the world, that your circumstances are not always going to make sense. You know, they're going to try you. They're going to push you. That it's very easy to quit and to give up. But if you can just focus on making it through another day and doing your best in that day, there's going to come a moment when you're going to have an opportunity to win, because that's just the way life is. You got to fight through the night in order to make it through another day. And encouraging young men to continue to push forward is very, very important in the day and time that we live in right now.
And was some of your ministry for a while, were you going into the prisons and talking to those folks too?
Yes, was going into the prisons before the pandemic. Right now, all of the prisons are still shut down. They're not letting many outsiders in, if any at all, just because of safety protocol. But going in, talking to men that are on death row, as well as men that will never get out or men that are getting out at some point, just trying to help them renew their minds and come up with a new plan that when they get out, that life can be totally different for them and their loved ones.
Anthony Martin mentioned a chance for you to catch up with the teams at Vashon High School. How connected are you still at SLU, Coach Travis Ford, and what he's doing there with the Billikens?
Coach Ford has been very gracious in allowing me to be connected to him and his program. You know, about 3 years ago, I think it was, I went down there and I was back for a while for some reason, and I was practicing with them for almost a month, that I was going to practice every day with them. It was a year that they went up there and they won the tournament in Brooklyn in advance to the NCAA tournament. I practiced with them for about a month and a half, and my little brother, Corey Tate, is the associate head coach. He's on the staff, so he keeps me pretty informed of what's going on around the program. And I root from them from afar. When I'm able to go see him, I will. When I can catch him on TV, I will. My son is aware of the St. Louis Billikens program, so we're very proud of what they've done and what they're doing.
Well, can you imagine Anthony Bonner and Hassan French banging on the boards at a practice? I mean, you'd get a separated shoulder just watching these guys go after the ball.
Man, I'm telling you, boy, Hassan French was a beast. He was big, he was strong, he was athletic, he was quick. And I was about 25 years older than him, so it was a challenge every day to bang with that young guy.
Anthony, is your son playing ball?
My son is playing basketball.
Does he have aspirations for what his dad was able to do?
He does, and I will tell you this, God willing, he has a realistic chance. My son is 12, but he's already 6'4.5". He's left-handed. He wears a size 15, and he plays all five positions right now. I've been coaching him about 2 years, and he can score at all three levels. He shoots to three, he has the mid-range, and he can finish at the rim. So I'm very, very fortunate, and thank God for him and his love of the game.
Well, on behalf of Coach Ford, I'll extend an offer right now. Let's just go ahead and put it on the table. I'm wearing my Billiken Ambassador's hat, okay?
Wow. Oh, wow.
Very unofficial offer, but I thought I'd at least put it out there. So much fun.
Duly noted.
Well, hopefully we'll see it a game this year, too. Yeah. Bill's got a great squad. We'll look forward to it. And when Anthony Bonner walks into Chaffetz, let me just tell you, there's no mistaking that that's Anthony Bonner, okay?
Well, I thank you guys, man. I'm definitely going to get back this season and watch them play, because I know they got some new players. I heard about the unfortunate injury to Perkins, but, the great thing about coaching in college athletics is next man up, and we got some other players that can never replace him but can do a great job to make sure we can still make it to the tournament this year.
And I'm not kidding about that. When Anthony Bonner goes to a SLU game, I don't care if he's in the third row, the 10th row, you notice Anthony Bonner. What a great player for the Billikens. Had a nice NBA career. And I always love hearing the stories of folks going overseas. Players have come back, and there's just
It's just a lot of times we say, oh, in Europe, they're so civilized. I don't know. Some of the basketball over there gets just insane, especially then you get outside of Europe. It gets really crazy. Players have come back, talked about playing inside fenced-in basketball courts. I mean, it's crazy. But great to catch up with Anthony Bonner. Some future guests on this show. Kevin Burkhardt, who is a Fox football announcer. He's the host of the popular MLB playoff post-game, pre- and post-game shows on Fox. He's the number two NFL announcer behind Joe and Troy. And it's crazy how quickly he has ascended. It's a great story. He was the Mets sideline reporter. So Kevin Burkhardt is an upcoming guest, along with Bob Costas. No, not Bob Costas. Bob Wallace. We've had Bob Costas on. I was thinking of Costas because Burkhardt's rise is crazy how quickly he went to the network and went to the top at the network. But Bob Wallace is also coming up on a future show talking about his time in the NFL, executive with the Football Cardinals, executive with the St. Louis Rams. We're not blaming Bob that they left, but it is noted that both teams that he worked for both left. That's an upcoming episode. Make sure you subscribe. Spotify, iTunes, all the segments are posted at scoopswithdannymac.com. We appreciate all your support for the Kilcoin Conversation. Great feedback on the Rocky Sickman interview last week. And I didn't do anything. I just had him as a guest. It doesn't matter who's interviewing him. He is a great guest with an incredible story to tell. His time as an Iranian hostage 40 years ago. So we appreciate Rocky being on the show and want everybody to check out Folds of Honor. Great organization that he's now working for. Kilcoin Conversation, as always, presented by Marie Davila Senior Living, corner of Clayton and Wideman Road. Take a virtual tour online at mariedavila.com. Appliance Discounters, all the great showrooms around town, including the spot in Maplewood at Deer Creek Plaza, where they have the Art of Appliance. A little trendier looking, maybe if you're, maybe you got a loft downtown, or you like the newer look. They've got a lot of artsy appliances. That's the whole point. Just kind of a different look. Check that out in Maplewood. TheAppliancedDiscounters.com, where you go for all of your appliance needs. B&G Tuck Pointing. I'm going to see my guy, Rich Galati, later this week. Best in the bricks. It's that simple. BGTuckPointing.com is where you can see some of the work they've done in the St. Louis area. BG Tuck Pointing, 363-0525 is the number to call. And Triad Bank, right there on Clayton Road in Frontenac. Easy to get to from Highway 40 and Lindbergh. Started up in St. Louis, so if you're looking to get a loan to do some improvements to your business, your home, these are the folks to talk to because every decision is made right here in St. Louis. TriadBanking.com is where you can find them on the web. Thanks for supporting all of our sponsors and looking forward to some great segments upcoming on the Kilcoin Conversation.